You guys, welcome back to my Flickers of Fear show. This is actually, I guess, like the first one that's going up in the new year of 2022. So happy new year to everybody out there. I know that I said, like, when I was doing the December reviews that, oh, maybe I'll do winter themed horror movies like for the rest of the winter, because I actually really do like those. But then, I don't know, like during one of our live streams, someone asked when I was going to start doing more Giallo movies. And I thought, yeah, it has actually been a while since I've done a Giallo movie. And I actually really do like doing those. And there's a bunch of them on my list that I need to watch. So I said, why not? We'll start out 2022 doing another Giallo film. And one that I hadn't seen before, one that's actually been on my list for a really long time. There's some that I've seen before that I actually want to get around to as well. But because this one, I guess, was like easier because it's on Tubi for free and it's on Amazon Prime. And I figured, well, I've been wanting to watch this one for a while because this one comes up in a lot of people's lists of like best Giallo movies, and I hadn't seen it. This is The Black Belly of the Tarantula from 1971, which is probably one of my favorite Giallo titles of all time. It's so great. I mean, they're all so good. I love like Giallo movie titles, but this is like a really good one. And it does actually sort of have something to do with the plot, which a lot of them. Sometimes they don't, you know what I mean? But this one actually does kind of tangentially have something to do with the plot. So this one came out in 1971, and I feel like this was, if it wasn't the first one that came out, it was one of the first batch that came out sort of in response to, you know, Dario Argento's seminal Giallo film, Bird with a Crystal Plumage. So this is one of the earliest ones that came out, like after that. I believe it came out the same year, now that I'm thinking about it, or maybe like the next year. When the Bird with a Crystal Plumage? I thought that was 71 too, but it was like pretty soon afterward. Now, this was actually directed by Paolo Cavara. Now, as far as I'm aware, this is the only Giallo movie that he directed, but he did do a bunch of other kinds of movies. He did spaghetti westerns, he did crime stuff. Probably most famous, though, for Mondo Cane, which, you know, one of the better known, you know, shock documentary type of things. Kind of like, I guess it's, you know, for Americans, I guess it's something more like Faces of Death or something like that. So he kind of did a lot of those kind of like exploitation, true life, like, documentary type thing. So that's probably what he's best known for. But he did all kinds of other different films as well. But this is pretty much, I think, is the only the Giallo that he directed. Now, interestingly, I'm gonna say this is actually a pretty solid Giallo film. I can totally see why a lot of people put this on their list of like really, really top ones. Obviously, it's not as great as some of, you know, Dario Argento's ones or whatever, more Mario Bava, but this is a really, really solid Giallo. Has a lot of the, you know, tropes that Giallo movies have, but has like a couple different little things in there to kind of like mix it up a little bit. So what the story behind this one is, you know, obviously it's a murder mystery like all the Giallo movies are. This one is kind of set more or less around sort of like a fancy day spa type of thing, which is good because it gives the movie the opportunity to show like lots and lots of naked ladies. Interestingly, though, there is a lot of nudity in this, but it's not, you know, so it does have a little bit of that sleaze that we like so much, like from Giallo movies, but it's not as sleazy as some of the later ones, I feel like, because I know there was some that were like strip nude for your killer and ones like that that were a little more on the sleazy end. This has a little bit of sleaze, but it's mostly pretty classy, but there is a lot of nudity in it, so it's like a lot of, you know, hot ladies you know, taking their tops off. So, you know, if you're into that, then you'll totally be into this as well. Not super, super gory. The kills are interesting, but and they're, if you think about them, they're really upsetting, but it doesn't really show a lot. You know what I'm saying? So it's not like this over-the-top gore, like, you know, like I said, like some of Dario Argento's stuff is, but the killings, like, I like the concept behind the killing. So it's based around this sort of day spa. So the first woman that gets killed is this woman named Maria. And she is, they find out later on, she's apparently a nymphomaniac. So, like, pretty much the opening scene of this movie, like, over the credits and everything, she's at this day spa, and she's totally naked, and she's getting a massage from this blind masseuse. And then later on, she's in her house and she's kind of like awakened by a noise or of like the dog is barking. And when she takes the dog out, the killer comes in and like ends up killing her. Now, the killer in this one looks pretty much like your standard giallo killer, you know, the black fedora, black overcoat, whatever. The only thing that's different is that instead of black gloves, he actually has like surgical gloves, which, you know, was kind of an interesting touch. Now, what this killer does that's kind of makes him different from some of the other giallo killers is that his thing is that he has like these big acupuncture needles. And there's actually a great scene of him kind of like, which is kind of funny when you think about it. There's like a scene of him with these acupuncture needles very meticulously putting the needle like over a flame, I'm guessing, to... You know, like, it's like, we can't have germs all over this if we're going to use it to kill somebody. And it's like, I don't know. That's just really funny to me. But yeah, so it's like putting over flames or whatever. So he has these needles, and what he does is that he'll chase his victim around, and then he kind of like holds her down and then puts the needle in the back of her neck, and it paralyzes her. So it's kind of like... one of those things where it, for some weird reason, I thought of, that movie Wolf Creek, where the guy was like, he'd had like this spot at the back of your neck and it paralyzes you, but you're still aware of everything that's happening. You know, he calls it head on a stick. So I guess it's kind of like that sort of thing where it like paralyzes the victim. So they're still conscious of what's going on, but they can't move or fight back or do anything. So they just have to lay there with their eyes open and watch as this killer, you know, essentially cuts open their stomach. So the reason that it's called Black Belly of the Tarantula, which they kind of, you know, get into later on, is that apparently, this is a real thing, I guess, apparently there's this species of wasp, and their thing is that they will get into fights with a tarantula, and the wasp will sting the tarantula and incapacitate it so it can't move, and then it lays its eggs inside the tarantula's stomach while the tarantula is still alive, so that when the eggs hatch into larva, the larva can essentially eat the tarantula from inside out, because nature is nasty. But yeah, so that's like a real thing, and they do actually kind of show that happening later on, like during the investigation. So this first woman that gets killed, she was a nymphomaniac, like I said. She had been having fights with her husband. They were separated. And so he's kind of acting sort of sketchy, like, because he said, oh, I haven't seen her in like 10 weeks or something like that. But he'd actually been at her house the day before. So the cops are kind of like thinking that maybe he had some shit to do with it. Also, they find this picture in the apartment of her, and she's naked, and it's torn in half, but you can see like this, there's this other man's hand, and it's not her husband's hand. So she's been like fucking around on him, even though, like I said, they're separated. So there's kind of like, from the beginning, there's kind of a whiff of maybe there's some like blackmail kind of stuff going on as well. So our main character, like our main guy that's investigating all this, is a dude named Inspector Tolini. Now, he's played by Giancarlo Giannini. And he was in, I think he was in the 2006 Casino Royale, now that I'm thinking about it. I think he might have been in Hannibal as well, like the movie Hannibal from 2001. And he was in a couple other giallo movies as well. I think he was in one called Libido, which I haven't seen. And, but yeah, so if you watch giallo movies, like, to any great degree, you're gonna see, like, the same people, like, popping up. It seems like there's just one stable of actors, and they would kind of turn up in, I mean, because they made so many, but they would, like, turn up in all these ones. So Inspector Tolini comes in. Like I said, the husband, Maria's husband, is pretty much the first guy, because he lied about where he was, like, because they found out that he was actually at her house the day before. His fingerprints were the only ones found in the house other than hers and the cleaning ladies. So they're kind of like following him around and shit like that. Now, Tolini also has his own thing going on, where he has a wife, and there's a very bizarre scene. This is kind of one of the things I love about giallo movies, is there's some stuff in here that's just so fucking random. So I guess they're trying to like set up character development or whatever, but there's this whole, I wouldn't call it a subplot because it's only like a couple of scenes, but there's this whole little tiny subplot about Tolini's wife, selling all their furniture, like all the old furniture in their apartment, and then having it picked up and then buying new furniture. There's like two scenes of that. And it's just like, I thought that was going to like amount to something. I should have known better, but it totally doesn't. It's just in there just like randomly. Like I said, I guess it's, they're just trying to set up. I don't know what they're trying to set up, but there's like a quite an extensive, like several minute scene of, you know, him coming home from work after this horrible investigation and her being like, oh, hey, here's a check. I sold all the furniture. They're going to come get it. And then they come get it and they're like, hey, we still need it, though. You weren't supposed to come till tomorrow. And there's like a whole thing. And then later she buys some new stuff. And he's like, what'd you buy with the money? And he's like, oh, that, and that. So it's just, I don't know. It was like really, really funny. But so Inspector Tolini, he's actually like a great character in this. Giancarlo Giannini plays him. As the movie goes on, he gets like more and more sympathetic because he's a cop. I don't really think they say like how long he's been a cop, but all of these murders that start stacking up are really seeming to like get to him. And he's basically keeps telling his wife, he's like, look, I'm going to quit. I really don't think that I'm cut out for this anymore. You know, I just can't really take it, you know, the violence, and it's horrible and all this other kind of shit. But then he kind of feels compelled. At the same time, he kind of feels compelled to, like, go on with the investigation, like, as he gets, like, drawn further and further into it. So, as I said, they're investigating the first murder. And then another woman ends up dead. Now, this woman is, she just works at like a shop, like a dress shop or something like that. And the killer comes in and does the same thing to her, like puts the acupuncture needle in her neck and then cuts her belly open. And they find out, they're like, well, obviously this is the same killer, but inside the dress shop where she worked was like a fuck ton of cocaine. So like, I'm guessing this shop was like a front for some kind of like cocaine or like drug trafficking ring or something. So they said, okay, well now we need to like investigate that angle too, because it's possible that, you know, cause like I said, they kind of like, are going with the idea that maybe these are all people that are being blackmailed for whatever reason. So maybe because this woman was involved in a cocaine ring, somebody found out about it and they're blackmailing her, blah, blah, blah. So they're like, this is the same killer. So obviously they all have to be connected somehow. This is actually a really good sequence, like where she gets killed, because you can tell that the director was maybe homaging Blood and Black Lace with a little bit, because there's kind of like some scenes where she's running through the back of the dress shop trying to get away from the killer, and like all these mannequins are like kind of falling on her and stuff. It's like a really good chase sequence, but she ends up getting killed. So like I said, they're looking for some kind of connection between these two victims, at which point, I think at this point, like Tolini actually ends up going to an entomologist to ask about, or I guess the entomologist calls him because he's like, well, I thought it was weird, and tells them about the wasp and the tarantula thing. He's like, because that, it reminded me very much of how the killer is killing his victim, so I thought I should let you know. Now, while he's in the entomologist's office, interestingly, he notices that like all of these tarantulas that this guy has, they're in these little plastic boxes with what appears to be sand at the bottom. But then like when the cop like looks at it, he's like, yeah, that's not sand, that's cocaine. So there is like some more stuff about cocaine trafficking. But in a way, like the cocaine stuff and the blackmail stuff, it does play into sort of the larger mystery or the murder, you know, the series of murders, but not really. So a lot of it is just kind of like red herring type of stuff, which, you know, I maybe might frustrate some people, but like I said, it's very common in giallo movies to have all of these sort of subplots or all of these sort of motivations for the killer that turn out not to be the case, which I guess is kind of like a real investigation. So, you know, I can't be too mad at it. But yeah, so don't get too invested in like the whole cocaine, because the entomologist guy, he gets arrested and that's, it's never brought up again. The blackmail does play into it, but in the end, the person that ends up being the killer, I'm not sure if I want to spoil it, because like I said, it's hard. I know it's old. This movie came out in 1971. And this one, I did guess who the killer was. But you can't really guess who the killer is from the plot clues. You know what I'm saying? Because like I said, you're kind of all wrapped up in this, oh, it's like a cocaine ring or it's blackmailing, because they spend a lot of time on the blackmailing angle. Like all of these pictures, like somebody's going around, it's this woman, and she's the woman that runs the spa that we saw at the beginning, and she's going around taking pictures of people who are fucking around with their husbands or whatever, or wives or whatever, and blackmailing them. So all of the victims had that in common, but it doesn't really play into the killer's motivation. So you can't really guess. If you're just going by the plot beats, you're not going to figure out who the killer is. But I just figured out who the killer was because I just figured it was the least likely person. Because there's a couple scenes in there that I was just kind of like, oh, that's got to be the killer then. Now, for a while at first, I thought that the killer was maybe a woman, because sometimes they'll throw that loop in there, like just to throw you off. But then, like, when I saw a couple of the shots and everything, I'm like, yeah, that's not a woman. That's not walking like a woman. It doesn't move like he doesn't move like a woman. So it is a man, but I did kind of think that like for the first few minutes. But then after that, I started thinking, I bet it's this guy. And that's exactly who it was. And like I said, he doesn't, it sort of has to do with the blackmail shit, but not really. It's honestly, just like in a lot of giallo movies, it honestly has something to do with more with like a psychosexual motivation, like a whole like impotence type deal. It has to do with that. So really the person that's killing the people, it's killing the women, it was more like an impotence, like, lashing out because they were impotent, and they hated women. And, the fact that they were being blackmailed, there was a relation, but it wasn't like exactly the same. So, like I said, there's kind of like, so more women end up dead. Tolini, is kind of like investigating all of these different things. There's actually like a really great, when they first find out who one of the blackmailers is, there's a really good extended like foot chase, which kind of reminded me of one, I think it was in The Cat of Nine Tails, like the Dario Argento movie. And it kind of reminded me of that, of him like chasing one of the blackmailer people like around like on the roof of this tall building. And it's really great. It's like really shot really nice. And it's like really, really tense and everything. And then one of the people like ends up like falling off the building and shit like that. But it's really, really good. It's really well done. So there's a lot of really good scenes like that. As I said, this is not a real lurid one. It's not, I mean, the cinematography is really nice, but it's not kind of one of those like real, like super colorful or like super. It does have like a lot of those real early 70s like mod interiors with all those really weird shaped couches and lamps and round chairs that are like orange and shit like that. It does have a lot of that kind of stuff going on, but it doesn't have, but it's not like super colorful or super stylized. It's pretty naturalistic looking, but it's stylish though. Not stylized, but just kind of stylish in a way that a lot of the movies from this era were. The score was actually done by Ennio Morricone, who did a lot of these. Score not super memorable, and it was actually, it's a little bit strange, the score for this one, actually. It sort of sounds like it uses a lot of like women sighing in it in a very weird kind of way. It almost sounds like softcore porn music a little bit, which I guess maybe a lot of giallo movies, their music sounds like that. But which it doesn't make much sense at the beginning, but then like later when you learn what the killer's motivation is in a very like scene at the end, which is very much like the end of Psycho, where we're like explaining what the killer's motivation was. Which I don't mind that. It's, you know what I mean. But I'm just saying that was maybe an homage to that. So when you find out what the motivation was like the kind of sexy sounding music makes more sense. You know what I'm saying? But while you're watching the movie and you think this is all like a blackmail plot or drug trafficking or something like that, it doesn't make as much sense, even though there are a lot of like naked ladies in this. But yeah, you're seeing like a lot of the same people turning up in this. I mean, pretty much everybody that's in this you will recognize from probably some other giallo movies. There's actually a guy in this who works at the spa, who is kind of like, he says he's a waiter, but I guess he's basically like a gopher person. And he's playing, this is another thing that happens in a lot of giallo movies where they have like the token gay that's like way campy and like over the top. So he's playing that kind of character. He was also in The House with the Laughing Windows, which actually is an excellent, excellent giallo. If you haven't seen that one, I'll probably get around to that one of these days too, because I really, really like that movie. But there's some other women in this too that you will recognize. Barbara Bach is in this. She was in Short Night of Glass Dolls. Rosella Falk is in this. She was in Seven Blood-Stained Orchids, which is also pretty good. You also have Claudine Auger, not sure how you pronounce that. She was in Twitch of the Death Nerve, aka Bay of Blood. Barbara Boucher, she was also in Don't Torture a Duckling. I'm pretty sure Barbara Boucher, as soon as it came on, like, I know I'll get into, like, the whole James Bond thing in a minute because there's a bunch of Bond girls in this. Barbara Boucher, I'm pretty sure. I'm not entirely sure because I forgot to check. I recognized her. She's, like, the first victim. She's the first woman that gets killed. And as soon as I saw her face, I said, oh, my God, that's Baby Woman from Agent from Harm, which is, like, this really cheesy, like, spy knockoff movie. I saw it on Mystery Science Theater. That's why I call her Baby Woman, because I saw it on Mystery Science Theater, and that's what they called her, because she has, like, a very, like, babyish, like, this kind of, like, angelic, beautiful face. And so they called her Baby Woman the whole time. And as soon as I saw her, I was like, oh, my God, it's Baby Woman. But I'm pretty sure it is her, yeah. But, yeah. But she was also in Don't Torture a Duckling, the Lucio Fulci giallo movie. And you also have Silviano Tranquilli, who I think plays the first victim's husband, if I'm not mistaken. He was in The Bloodstained Butterfly, which is also pretty decent. But yeah, there's just all kinds of people from other giallo movies. And as I said, there's also a lot. There's three Bond girls in this. Barbara Boucher, who I just mentioned, was in, she played Moneypenny, I think, in the original Casino Royale from 1967. Barbara Bach, who has also been in some other giallo movies, but she was also in The Spy Who Loved Me. And Claudine Auger, I'm not really sure. She was actually in Thunderball. And the guy that plays Tellini in this, Giancarlo Giannini, he was actually in the 2006 Casino Royale. So there's a lot of Bond connection in this, which is very strange because this is it's Italian, but you know what I mean. So yeah, but pretty much everybody in this has been in other giallo movies, or a bunch of them are in Bond movies as well. So you'll recognize a lot of people. So, as I said, this is actually, I can see why this turns up in a lot of people's, like, top 10 lists. This is a real solid, it's not my favorite, it's not as crazy or lurid or anything like that. The kills are cool for the concept, but they're not real graphic. They're bloody, but they're not gory. But I really do like the idea of, you know, paralyzing the victim with the acupuncture needle and then, like, cutting their stomach open. And I'm saying they cut their stomach open, they don't, like, show it, you know what I mean? It's not like Suspiria where it's like you show the heart, like the exposed heart with like a knife going in it. It's not like that. It's basically just kind of like a knife going in the stomach and then there's just blood. It's not like this really, really gory kind of thing. But honestly, the first sequence where Barbara Boucher's character gets killed is really, really well done. It's really well shot, like the way the killer's like chasing her through the house and it's like these big windows and, you know, she's wearing this kind of flowy, chiffon-y, like yellow thing, like robe situation, and then like, you know, he busts open her pajamas and he's like, you know, and she's just laying there like that with her boobies and you know what I mean, and then he's like cutting her stomach up. But yeah, so you know, it's a really good solid giallo film. Like I said, I guessed who the killer was, but that didn't really diminish my enjoyment of it. It does go off on a lot of weird tangents. Like I said, the whole thing about the furniture being sold. There's a very strange scene where the killer or the blackmailer, I guess it's the blackmailer, videotapes or records from like across the street, records Tellini having sex with his wife and then leaves it for the police to find. So then like all the cops are watching it and they're all like snickering. And I was just kind of like, I was like, he's having sex with his wife. It's not like he was having sex with a goat or, you know, or he was cheating on her or something like that. It's like, so I just thought that was very, very weird. And he's just like sitting there the whole time going, oh my God, this is so embarrassing. And, you know what I mean? It's just like there's weird shit like that. It's not funny. It doesn't really have any funny kind of stuff in it. The only really kind of sop to comedy, I guess, would be, you know, the token gay character. But he's only in it for like a second or two and it's not real over the top. I think the funniest thing about it is that he's kind of like a dick, like to all the women that go to this spa, like for no reason. Like this woman's in the pool and she's like, hey, give me a cigarette. And he's like, okay. And then he just like drops it in the pool and he's just like, oops. You know what I mean? So it's like, I kind of liked him though, but he was only in it for like a scene or two. But yeah, so that's pretty much the only funny stuff. So it's not like real funny and, you know, but it's a good mystery. You know, I really like the whole tarantula and wasp angle. Like I said, it's not the best one I've ever seen. I prefer like Dario Argento's ones because they're more like operatic, I guess. And like I said, I'll get around to doing House with the Laughing Windows as well, which, the guy that played the token gay in that was in in this was in that movie as well. So I'll get around to that too. But it is definitely, definitely one worth watching. And if you're into giallo movies and you haven't seen it, it's probably one of the foundational ones. Like after you see kind of all the big heavy hitter ones, this is definitely like the next tier down of like ones you need to see, because this is a pretty, I guess this is like a pretty typical example, but it's still pretty entertaining. I mean, I had a really good time with it, watching it and all the spiders and stuff like that. So, you know, and some of the shots are pretty great. So yeah, as I said, it's on Amazon Prime, I believe, as of this recording, and you can also watch it on Tubi for free. Tubi actually has a bunch of giallo movies. Some, not, they have like a few of the kind of like real, well-regarded ones. And then they have kind of a lot of the sort of like lower tier, like schlocky ones too. I think Strip Nude for Your Killer is on there actually. Maybe I'll get around to doing that. And it's, they have like Knife of Ice and stuff like that. So, so yeah. So if you want to go on a, off on a giallo kick, you could certainly do worse than going to Tubi. I think this actually was on Shudder, but I don't think it's on Shudder anymore, at least not in the US. I think it was on there for a little while, but now it's not on there anymore. But you can totally watch it for free on Tubi, and I would recommend it if you like giallo movies and if you haven't seen it. If you have seen it, what did you think about it? Let's talk about it in the comments. And that will do it for this Flickers of Fear. I will see you guys on the next one. Bye.